Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
How are we going? Good. Good. When the journey to building this building was a long one. It took us, yes, felt like forever. It was 10 years, I think. It took 10 years to get the land. And we got the land, and then all sorts of dramas happened. Anyway, we got a DA. Let me just briefly stop for a minute. I'm still overwhelmed by Dylan's testimony. It was moving. So, preaching mode, Mel. You can do this. Okay. So, before this building existed physically, it actually existed in me. And I knew certain things about this place. I knew certain things that it would be. I knew certain things that would be in here. And I knew things that as a church we would be doing. And through that 10-year process of getting the land, and then we got the land, we got the DA, we got project managers, they went into receivership, we lost money, we lost them. God did miracle after miracle after miracle. Here we are. Amen. Yes. But during that time, I regularly said to Paul, the river of God flows through our church. I stood up here when it was concrete and there was no roof. There were metal bits and pieces everywhere. I had a hard hat on and a high-vis vest, which I still own, which I wear around the house. No, I don't. They're up in my office. And I stood here, on here. There were no stairs. And God said, the river of God flows in C3 Watson. So much so that I said it so much that Paul said to me, honey, we should, because he's very creative and he's very visual. And he said, let's do this visual thing in the foyer on the roof of the river of God. And we were going to, but then all the dramas happened and then there was an air conditioning vent there. So anyway. The river of God is in the very foundations of this church. But the river of God is not supposed to be contained to a church building. Ezekiel 47 is a vision God gave to Ezekiel of the river of God flowing from the temple outside into the surrounding areas. And there is so much imagery in that vision. We're going to read just the first part of it, and it says, then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and he led me around on the outside to the outer gate, by the way facing east. And behold, water was spurting out from the south side. Do you get the imagery here? The water is flowing out in all directions. North, south, east, west got left out. I'm not sure why, but it doesn't matter. And you know, most scholars agree that the water flowing from the temple in this picture is a picture of the gospel going from Jerusalem and spreading all over the world with the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit accompanying it. And we are in week two of our series, The God That I Know. And my message today has two parts. In a fortnight, I'm going to preach the second part. Why am I talking about the river of God? Well, because the river of God is very foundational and very important in this church. every year, at the beginning of every year, I go on a prayer retreat. And I just spend a number of days saying, what is it, God? What is it for this year? What is it that you've got for C3 Watson as a church? And this was one thing that God brought back to my memory. He said, don't forget the river of God, Mel. The river of God. And I'm talking about it this week, and next week I'm talking about the other thing, because there were two things that he said. The river of God in our church wants to flow out into our city. And we all have a part to play in that happening. The question this morning is, are you in? Are you willing to carry the river of God into our city? Now, we prayed for our Beyond Ministries already this morning, and the river of God flows into our city through the Beyond Ministries that we have, and the care and the help and the love that we show through those ministries. But it also flows through you and me. John 7:38 says this, anyone who believes in me may come, this is Jesus speaking, and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. As we go to Jesus and drink, we are filled to overflowing. Just like the river flowed out of the temple in Ezekiel's vision, the river of God wants to flow out of you. Can you see the picture there? There is a picture. We are the temple of God. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit inside of us is the river of God flowing into our city. As we live, as we go about our lives, as we share about the God we know, the river reaches the people we talk to, and they are touched by it. They are changed by it. I love that we're talking about the God that we know. And there was someone in our church actually took that and did something with it. How cool is that? And they talked about the God they know to someone that they know. And they said, do you want to come to church? And this person said, yes, I would actually. Which was a surprise. They said, actually, they did what you guys said. They said yes. And that person came to church and said to the person who invited them, there's so much life there. It was just life. I just felt life. Do you know why? Because wherever the river flows, there is life. That scripture says that. We're going to get to that. You and I carry the river of God. And he wants us to let him out. And this is important. This is a big part of why we're doing this series, but it's one part. It's not the only part of seeing our city touched by God and people come to Jesus. There is that practical element of knowing and sharing about the God we know. But there's a spiritual element to it as well. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. How do we use the weapons that I just spoke about? What on earth is Paul talking about here? He's talking very simply about prayer. He is saying we must fight in the place of prayer to see people come to Jesus, because there are blockages that will not be moved just by talking and sharing. They won't be moved just by showing God's love and inviting, although all of those things are amazing and we do those as well. To see the blockages move, we go to war in the place of prayer and destroy false arguments and every obstacle that keeps people from coming to Jesus. A couple of years ago, Pastor Alex Lee, who now runs SYD, C3SYD, say that quickly, came to our church and he said this. He was walking around Canberra and he said, "There's an oppressive spirit. There's an evil at work in Canberra. It's coming to oppress. It's coming to rob, kill hope, to constrict the Holy Spirit, to actually constrict the Spirit. There is an assignment to shut down the moving of the Holy Spirit, to leave it to intellectual explanation, to shut down the church as ineffective. But I see you carrying weapons, C3 Watson, of warfare that are not carnal. They are not of this world." That's what we're here to do. Because the Holy Spirit will not be restricted. He will not be restricted. It will not be just about intellectual explanation. It will be about the power of God moving in our city, moving in our church, the river of God flowing through our church into our city. And not just our church, every church in this place, in Jesus' name. But this is a spiritual exercise. And it's part of the way we reach our city for Jesus, which is why we're here. We boldly share our testimony about God. And alongside this, we pray that arguments would fall, that strongholds would fall, that blindness would go. It's a two-pronged strategy, and we need both. And this is part of the reason we've started prayer groups in our church. We've got all these prayer groups. Look at them. We have our prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and we have these prayer groups. And we're starting two, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. before our Tuesday prayer meeting, I'm running our salvation prayer group. So for 30 minutes, we're going to pray individually over every person by name. We're not just holding cards and going, "Jesus, I pray that you would," I mean, that's fine. But we are going to pray over every person. "Father, I thank you for Joe. God, you know Joe. And Joe, you want to see him come to you." And we'll just keep praying. So who are the people you know? Who are the people that God has given to you? If you have not filled out one of these prayer cards, I would encourage you to do that because I want to pray for your people. Yeah. I know you're praying for your people. Yeah. I know you are, but I want to pray for them too. Yeah. And if you want to come and join me praying for your these people, then you are so welcome to come and pray with me for half an hour once a fortnight on a Tuesday from 5:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. And if you want to stay around after the prayer meeting finishes from 7 to 7:30, John Jenkins, that's that time, isn't it? I got that right? Good. 7 to 7:30, John Jenkins is starting a healing prayer group where we are going to be praying that the power of God would flow and we would start seeing more and more and more miracles in our church, signs and wonders. Luke 19:46 says this. He said to them, "The scriptures declare my temple will be a house of prayer." C3 Watson is a house of prayer. It is in our DNA. It is what God is asking us to do. And it's going to be one of the ways that we change this city. E.M. Bounds said this about prayer. He said, "The life of the church is the highest life, and its office is to pray. Its prayer life is the highest life, the most fragrant, the most conspicuous." You can tell when you're in a praying church. It's conspicuous. It has a fragrance. It has a presence. When God's house on earth is a house of prayer, then God's house in heaven is busy and powerful in its plans and its movements. Our job is to bring heaven to earth through our prayers. we change our city through our prayers. And as we pray, there are wells in our city that are going to be unblocked. Now, these are not literal wells. I mean, I don't know if you've seen any wells in Canberra recently. Anyone seen any wells? Early last year, I talked about unblocking wells in our city, and I said that it is the call of this church. And we started, and we've not finished. In fact, we're just getting started, I think. Wells are places where water is drawn from the well. If the well is blocked, there is no access to water. That makes sense, right? Part of our job as a church is to unblock the wells in our city so that the water will flow, so that the river of God can flow into our city and our nation. Pastor Alex Lee again said this: I see what is blocked up wells. Blocked up wells. Things that have dirt in them. I see your voice speaking, prophesying, praying, interceding. I see cleansing rivers, cleansing rivers. Those cleansing rivers, those cleansing waters are the river of God flowing through the unblocked wells. And there are wells, the wells that we are unblocking are, firstly, the well of salvation, Isaiah 12, verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. As we pray, as we speak, as we share about the God we know, we are unblocking the wells of salvation, and I see the harvest coming to this city. I see it. I see it. I tell you, I see it. It is so exciting. It is so amazing. Thank you. Let's go back to the river of God. Verse 9. There will be a swarm of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from Charnwood to Gordon. That's what I'm believing. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they fill the Mediterranean. There are so many fishermen fishing around the river of God. Did you see that? In that picture, there were fishermen fishing. That's us. Fishing, praying, sharing, seeing people come to Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am making you fishers of men." Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." You know, he's making us too. He wants to teach us to fish by sharing our testimony, by praying for those he's given us. Most of the time when you go fishing, you go because you want to catch a fish, most of the time. Or is you just an introvert and you just want to go and be all by yourself with no one around? The introverts are saying, yep, yep, yep. But most of the time when you go fishing, you go to catch a fish. The disciples did that. They went to catch a fish. There's a story in Luke where they fished all night and they didn't catch anything. Because it was in their own strength and it was in their own timing. And when I felt God say this scripture to me, Luke 5, verse 5, because Jesus came and he said, "Put your nets on the other side." And Simon said, "But we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing." Anyone ever felt like that? But God, I've been doing this for so long and it didn't work. But God, I've been praying for this for so long and it hasn't happened. But God, can't you see what I've already been doing? I'm already doing that. That may have been me. I don't know if you've ever said that to God. Maybe you're way too polite. But Simon said this, he said, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. Yeah. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, ha, 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 ha. I said, okay, God, I'll change my attitude. I'm sorry. Yeah. But if you say so, God, I'll let down the nets again. Yeah. I'll go again. I'll pray again. I'll share again. I'll believe again. I'll stand up again. I'll have faith again. I'll believe you again because you said so. Because I don't know why it may not have happened then. I don't know what was going on then, but maybe it just wasn't your time or mate. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. You've said this now, and so that's where we're going. And when they did, their nets were so full of water, they began to tear. God wants to direct our steps, our words, our prayers. He knows. And I believe he's bringing the harvest. And I believe we're going to see it. Verse 9 says, there will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. I love it. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. And that word fresh, do you know what it actually means? It means healed. Healed. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its water will be healed. There will be healing, salvation, and healing. Restoration. Salvation and healing were both dealt with on the cross when Jesus died. Salvation, people coming to Christ. Healing, miracles, physical miracles, emotional and mental miracles. Freedom, a part of who we are as a church. That's where we are. As the river of God flows, as we unblock the wells, salvation and healing is going to flow to a larger and larger degree in this place. About 2 years ago, we were away. We were overseas. I was sitting. I got up, as I do in the morning. I went for a run. And then I did a prayer walk. I do it regularly when we're traveling. And I was sitting on a bench near some beautiful water, beautiful ocean, and across from me was this mountain. I mean, you don't realise how flat Australia is until you go out of Australia. Like, the mountains are ginormous. And I was sitting there and I was just praying. I was praying. And I felt like God just said to me, I'm going to teach you how to move mountains like that. Just a slight little whisper. And I thought, what? Because sometimes when God speaks, I have to figure out whether he's talking to me, Melanie, Marshall, introvert, likes reading books, going for walks, making cakes, or C3 Watson, me, senior minister, C3 Watson. I believe he was talking to C3 Watson. I'm going to teach you how to move mountains. Mark 11:23 says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown in the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. God is teaching us to move mountains. He's teaching us, all of us. We're going to move mountains in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the question is, are you in? If you're in, write down your testimony. You have heard testimony after testimony after testimony about the God you know. Who is the God you know? What is your revelation of God? How has he changed your life? He rescued me because he delighted in me, even though I was not delightful. That's what Psalm 18 says. That's part of my testimony. If you haven't already identified your people, put them on a card and consider joining us corporately as we pray. Because God is moving. And it's very exciting. Talking about the God I know. And I suppose the best question to ask at the end of a message like this is, do you know God? Are you with us today in the room, or are you with us online today and you don't know God? You've never opened your heart up to Him and asked Him to come into your life so that you can be in relationship with Him. If you've never done that, then I want to give you an opportunity to do that. We all together want to give you an opportunity to do that, because that is why we're here, to introduce people to God. First time, or maybe you have walked with God in the past and you know that you're not walking with Him now. And you need to recommit your life to Him today. If that's you, in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart. An opportunity to make Him the Lord of your life. And what's involved in that is saying a short prayer that we will pray together. And then after that, I'll invite you to just raise your hand so that we can meet you after the service. So, let's pray. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to forgive my sin. I choose to follow you. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you all my days.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.